Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Shut the Funk Up podcast. I am the well-fed boy, and I mean, we gotta
get it.
We gotta get it all out.
Hell yes.
I mean, let's get it all out.
They don't know what the fuck they're doing. Do you understand that?
I do understand that, because it's just been a while. Things have been crazy in the world, above and below. You know, when I say above, I mean the outside world, and when I say below, I mean me. I'm so sorry it's been a while, but you know, it's just, hold on, I'm recording on a Sunday. That's how wild it's been. I'm recording on a Sunday morning. It's like 9:30 a.m. I'm recording on a Sunday because you know what? I'm not even going to give you a reason. I'm just going to just finish my coffee here. We're going to get jacked up. And we're going to roll. We're going to roll with the punches. You know, I'm just happy to be back. I missed all of you, you know, all two of my fans out there. It's been a time. A lot of stuff has happened. I can't even begin to try to go through the journal of all of the happenings and, you know, this and that. I will update, you know, I have updates from the trips. I know that's how long it's been. It's been terrible. That's how long it's been that I haven't been able. I think it's been over a month. It's not right what I've done to you, but you know what? We're here. We're queer and yas. How is everybody doing out there? Episode 176, okay? 176, coming back at you. I want to quickly, because, you know, I've been gone for so long. People been dying, okay? People been dying. There's been birthdays. You know, we do the deaths and the birthdays now, and we got to go through them because we had some heavy hitters. First of all, I know you guys think I'm going to start with Ozzy Osbourne, but I'm not going to start with Ozzy Osbourne as far as deaths. I'm going to start with Connie Francis, okay? Listen to me and listen to me closely. Connie Francis is an absolute unsung hero, okay? You guys don't know. Hold on, let me fix this here. I think I barely touched it. You see, let me fix this microphone. And then like, as soon as I grabbed it and started to move it, I got like very scared there. Did you see that? Connie Francis is an absolute beast, dude. You know what? I'm actually going to do, this is the first time I'm going to do a little Google for you. Hey, Google, tell me about Connie Francis.
According to Wikipedia, Conchetta Rosa Maria Francanaro, known professionally as Connie Francis, was an American singer, musician, author, and actress. One of the top charting female vocalists of the late 1950s and early 1960s, she amassed over 100 million records sold, placing her among the best-selling music artists in history.
You hear that? 100 million records, bud. You know, you thinking I'm going to start with Ozzy Osbourne, and then I just absolutely sideswipe you with Connie Francis. I mean, 100 million records, that's nothing to be sniffed at. I don't care if it was the 1950s. That's nothing to be sniffed at, okay? Or actually, maybe it is something to be. Maybe we should be sniffing at that. I don't even, at this point, the coffee's flowing, and I don't even know what the wording is. Should we be sniffing at Connie Francis or not? I don't know. I'm going to say maybe. That's nothing to be sniffed at, 100 million records. That's what I'm going to say, okay? But yeah, Connie Francis, rest in peace. I say rest in peace. I know people go rest in power now. That's like the new thing, but we don't do that here at the Shut the Fuck Up podcast because rest in power is lame. Rest in power? Like, what does that even mean, bro? I mean, come on.
Daddy, chill.
What the hell is even that?
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it. It's rest in peace. Ozzy Osbourne, obviously, you know, we're a couple of weeks too late. We've all mourned. We've all got it out. Absolute legend. He's in the pantheon of, you know, just good, rock and roll gods. He really is. But we all knew that. If you think of him on the reality TV show, The Osbournes, you played yourself. Okay. You played yourself. Congratulations. But really the biggest one, honestly, the biggest one for me is Terry Reid. Terry Reid passed away. And if you don't know who Terry Reid is, I have not been doing my job here on the Shut the Funk Up on this podcast. If you don't know who Terry Reid is, it's an abomination. He is super long. He's an absolute, he plays the guitar like a motherfucker, and he sings even better. You want to know how, maybe this might tickle, this might actually tickle some of your guys' fancy and maybe get you to go check out some Terry Reid, because I thought about playing, you know, some Terry Reid for you, because that's how much he means to me. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to tease it. And then hopefully if anyone actually does care out there in the ether, they'll go check out Terry Reid. But you know how badass Terry Reid is? Terry Reid turned down joining Led Zeppelin. Yeah, that's who Terry Reid is. Robert Plant, you're welcome. I'll say it again. Robert Plant, you need to be saying...
Have you said thank you once?
No, Robert Plant, I hope you have. I hope you have, dude, because Terry Reid is that dude. He famously turned down, joining Led Zeppelin, and God knows what that band would have been like with Terry Reid. Nothing to Robert Plant, but Terry Reid is super long. He is that dude. My brother's band did an amazing cover of a Terry Reid song with the Rack and Tours with Jack White. Go check it out. Rich Kid Blues? Yeah, I think it's called Rich Kid Blues. Is it? Yeah, I think, yeah. It's Rich Kid Blues. Yeah, check that. I think it was on their second album. I think it was on Consolers of the Lonely. That was always cool. The Brendan and Jack, the record tour, they always did. I always loved how they had three records. In every one of them, they always did one cover. Jack and Brendan always... Brendan especially, they love their covers, and they always do them very well. And each album features some really cool cover, not one that you would think. But I digress. Yeah, rest in peace, Terry Reid, man. An absolute beast of a 60s, 70s. Yeah, 60s, 70s guitar. And then, but we got some birthdays. Let's get back on a high note here. We got some birthdays, and we got Brian. I'm at, like I said, it's been a while. Brian May, happy birthday to Brian May of Queen, as we all know, turned 78. We got Carlos Santana. That's not even. I mean, that's like 90s. Who? Stop the shooting. Stop the gunning. Send the money on the corner, singing the way to make it better. I know, I'm just singing to you guys. I'm telling you, I should not have chugged that coffee. That was probably a bad idea. So, we're off and running here, but I'll calm down, I promise. Let me take a sip of some water and maybe that'll help. So yeah, Carlos Santana also turned 78. Don Henley, my favorite Eagle, by the way. You guys can all have Joe Walsh. I'll take Don Henley, by the way. I know that's maybe not the most bold statement, but it's a fact. You guys can have Joe Walsh. I know. Hey, listen, I get it. I know what he's done. I know who he is in the Eagles. I'll take Don Henley. Okay. Give me some, what was that one Don Henley? He had that 80s song that was, it's super corny, but God, I always loved it. It's not Sledgehammer, because that thing, that was like Peter Gabriel or something. What was that Don Henley? I can't remember it. But happy birthday, Don Henley of the Eagles. Turned 78 as well. And also Slash. Hey, Slash. I mean, one of the coolest names in rock and roll. You know, so you got Slash, very cool guitar, you know, person's name. And then you've got Edge from U2, which is not a cool name. I don't know why that people even talk about them. But yeah, happy birthday to Slash. Turned 60. Guy doesn't look like he's 60 because he wears the glasses and that huge hat. And dyes his hair black that drapes over his whole entire face. So you know, I don't think anyone really knows what Slash looks like. Honestly, swear to God. Does anyone even know we know what Slash looks like, but I don't think anyone really knows what Slash looks like because he's just a caricature or something of himself. So we need to get to the bottom of that, you know. But yeah, the happy birthday to all of those guys. And go check out Terry Reed. And honestly, if you're really feeling froggy, go check out Connie Francis, because who would have known that 100 million records she sold? All right. So I learned a lot. What did you learn this week segment? Good Lord, what did I learn this month segment is what it should be. But I have a cool little gem for you. I'm a big listener of the Questlove Supreme podcast. It's on Spotify and produced by iHeartRadio and whatnot, and it's probably on Apple Music too. But it's a really great podcast. He interviews musicians for each podcast and goes super in depth, like on their whole entire history from start to finish. And if you know who Questlove is, the guy is an absolute savant. He knows any and everything about pretty much every musical artist and just genre. He's a walking encyclopedia. It's who I wish to aspire be. And also I'm so glad that there's people like him walking around, because it's an absolute art form of the knowledge and depth of knowledge that he actually has about music. But I was listening to the white boy rapper. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. I'm blanking right now. Whatever. It's a white boy rap. He's the original white boy rapper from the 90s, way before Eminem. I'm blanking. Sorry. You know what? I'm going to look it up. I don't even care. I'm going to look it up. Hold, as my dad would say, hold, please. I'm going to type in ChatGPT, white boy rapper from the 90s. We're just going to type that into ChatGPT to see what they spit out. Vanilla Ice, no. House of Pain, no. Third Base, there it is. Third Base. MC Search. MC Search was in it was Third Base was MC Search and Pete Nice. But MC Search was like the real dude. MC Search was actually a very nasty, prolific white boy rapper. He was like the first on the scene, really, to pave the way for the white boys. But I was listening to that Questlove Supreme episode with MC Search. And MC Search is white boy from Queens, New York, and he's Jewish. And he was talking about the Borscht Belt. And there's this, you know, everyone knows about the Bible Belt and, you know, the what was the name of the all the juke, the black musicians would always go on the, what was it called? They would use the Green Book. And they would go on the juke joints, and they would only go to like these certain places. There's a thing called the Borscht Belt, and the Borscht Belt was this highway up in the Midwest, New York to Buffalo to Chicago, up there, and it was the Jewish like kind of circuit, the Jewish music circuit. It was, and it's called the Borscht Belt, BORSCHT, Borscht Belt. And he was talking about, you know, back in the day in the 90s, you know, any type of Jewish musician, if they were really trying to get a following and then sell tickets and do live stuff, they would hit the Borscht Belt scene and go on these runs of these Jewish establishments that held live music. And, you know, the Jewish community would come out to go check them out. And he was talking about how it was really pivotal early on when he was trying to get on, because obviously in the 90s, no one was taking any white boy rapper seriously. So he would hit this Borscht Belt circuit and do runs and shows on it. And I thought that was really cool. I'd never heard about the Borscht Belt. So that's what I learned this week. The Jewish music circuit that you could go on in the Northeast, I guess, because it really didn't go past Chicago from what I checked out. But yeah, that's what I learned this week. I wanted to play you just a ton of, I've got so much music, man. Summer is always a really good time for music, and I've got so much good stuff that I've been running into, but I have one song in particular that I wanted you guys to hear. It's by this band called Brethren. It's called Outside Love. It's a throwback. It's a 60s throwback jam. It's one of those groovy, funky type of Dap Kings and whatnot. I guess I won't even keep talking about it. I'll just let you hear it. But yeah, check this song out. It's called Brethren. Or I'm sorry, it's by Brethren. It's called Outside Love. These are the times where, like, I'm so mad that I just always Spotify or YouTube just has their copyright BS all the time. And I wish I could play so much more of that song. That song, I know that 10 seconds just doesn't do it justice. And I do this every single time with the weekly ear candies, but you got to check this song out. The whole thing is so freaking in the pocket and so groovy. Check out Brethren. Check out Outside Love by them, because the whole song is just that stank face 60s funk, dude. It's so freaking good. And we love it. And we love it. But I got some updates. So I think last time I talked to you, I think I told you about TSA. I told you it's all good with the no shoes now. No shoes is live and in effect. But I wanted to really talk about the delays. I want to talk about flying and the delays. And my issue isn't even with the actual delays, because that just happens all the damn time and we hate it and it's frustrating and we're not even going to bitch about that. What I'm going to bitch about is when you get on the plane and it takes too long and you're delayed like 30 minutes or something, and the pilot always says this.
Hi, this is your captain speaking, and I know it took us a little while. We had to like fix a lug nut on the left wing tip, and I know it took 30 minutes, but it's gonna be okay because we're going to make that time up in the air, and we'll make it up.
And they do. That's what they always do. The pilot will make up the 45-minute delay. He'll charge it to the game. He'll hit that throttle and charge it to the game. And by the time we land here in sunny South Florida, we're actually now back on time, on arrival time. We're there. Now, my question is, why can't we just do that on every flight? Why can't we just hit the throttle on every flight? Why does it take a lug nut on the left wing that took us 30 minutes for them to?
Yeah, there's a lug nut on the left wing that's, and they got to go to the supply. They got to go to the supply warehouse to go get it. And the supply warehouse is on the other side of the airport, so it's going to take a little bit of
that. Why does it take a lug nut for you guys to hit the throttle? Hit the throttle every time. I don't care if we're going to San Antonio. I don't care if we're going to New Mexico. I don't care where we're going, Canada. Dude, hit the throttle. Why are you not hitting the throttle like when everything's like all greasy and there's
– actually, you know what? The lug nut is fine. Actually, the whole point is fine, but we're still going to hit the throttle.
Do that, dude. Do that. If the whole plane is good and everyone like is timely and we're all like sitting down and we're actually like no delays, still hit the throttle, bud. Let's get in early. I know, like, the stewardess, you know, the flight attendants, they probably might like to. They don't want to work that long. Hit the throttle, bud. What are we doing? How are we delayed? And then you hit the throttle, and then we're back on time. Very annoying. Okay. Now, the other thing I want to talk about with flights, and I don't know if this is a controversial issue. I don't know if it's an old issue that's already been talked about and done, but I want the record to show. I want the record to show that on these flights, if you're on a flight with Alex, if you're on the flight with the well-fed boy, if we're flying anywhere, if you're sitting next to me, if you're two rows ahead, five back, wherever you're at, I want you to know that Alex be farting on the plane. I said it, dude. I said it. Alex B. Farton on the plane. And I don't apologize for it. I won't. I will not apologize for it. I'm assuming everyone else is doing it. Normally, because I don't know. I think there's a weird, crazy, I don't know the physics of it and the math behind it. But farts don't be smelling in the air. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that? Farts don't be smelling in the air, okay? When you're on Delta, farts don't be smelling. And we love it. That's why and that's why I do it. Now, sometimes if I, you know, stopped at that, you know, Qdoba, I don't know why, or like a Moe's Southwest Grill right before I got on the plane, and I'm one to do that because airline, you know, airport food is top tier food. It's top tier food. And that's actually, you know what, now that I think about it, why do airlines do that? Why are when you go to the airport, they always have the most gassiest food for you. They want, it's like, oh, hey, you're about to get on a plane? Here's a Chili's to go. Grab yourself, a Southwest egg roll. And hop on that plane and let's see what happens. Like, you think there would be like salad places or like something like, you know, good for you there. No, the airports are like, no, we want you to go on there and we want you to fart. We want you to fart. That's you know, now that I'm thinking about it.
They don't know what the fuck they're doing. Do you understand that?
So, yeah, I'd be farting on planes, man. You know, just to let everybody know, it's a lot of fun for me every single time. You know, I think it gets trapped in the seat. It doesn't get trapped in the seat. Those seats are hardened. They're hard body karate. Those seats. You know what I mean? They're hard body karate. They're bound with thick leathers. You know, they have to be because people be sitting on them many a times. You know, every day. So you know, you be farting on those leather seats. That fart be bouncing off, baby. That fart be bouncing all over the place. I love it when I fart and I don't even smell it because I know that thing went up into the air, went up into the pressurized cabin, and somebody somewhere got a little stank on them. Oh, goodness. Not good. Not good. But yeah, just a PSA. It's okay to fart. I guess that's where I'm kind of getting at. I also want to give you an update on the Boston beef situation. Cause I think last time I was talking about, well, I was going to Boston for, you know, for work and they got their famous Boston beef and I was going up there and I said, I'm going to try it. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get in that ass. I want to check it out. And, we're going to officially say, hey, Boston beef, take a hike. Okay, bud. This Boston beef, it's basically like a roast beef sandwich on some type of stupid roll with they call it like a red sauce. It's freaking barbecue sauce is what it is. I don't know what they call it like the Boston beef red sauce that comes on. Bro, it's barbecue sauce. It's actually shitty barbecue sauce is what it is. I went up there and I looked up like where to get it. It's Nick's place. You got to go to Nick's. That's like the best place. I went to Nick's. Hey Nick, stop selling it. By the way, Nick's place, you're a pizzeria too. You know you know that the Boston beef doesn't hold up. That's why you're selling freaking pizzas. Okay, the Boston beef was absolute trash. It was so messy. It was so disgusting. I couldn't believe it. I took two bites and I put it down, and then I drove to a place to get real food. I think I actually drove to a place and I got a quinoa salad. That's how bad it was. That's what you made me do, Boston B. If you made me go get a quinoa salad, you pieces of. But yeah, the Boston B. If you're out, if anyone ever says to you, check out when you go to Boston, go check out the Boston beef, and or if you ever don't do it. Hey, honestly, go to Arby's. Arby's is better. Get the horsey sauce. Put that on it. I mean, it's ridiculous what they're trying to, like, you know, pull over on us. But yeah, you know, that's probably why I was farting on the plane from that Boston beef. You know. Oh, goodness, I cracked myself up. But let's get into some serious news here. And I think it's very notable. I think it's very important. Obviously, that's why I'm bringing it up. But Spotify, we love it and we hate it, man. Spotify, it's such a great platform because it shows you and recommends all this great music. I love it. I stand by it. I'm not an Apple Music, you know, loser. I'm all Spotify, but Spotify, man, they make it hard. They make it hard for you to love them. They recently, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, if you don't know that band, I know that sounds like something I may have made up if you don't know that band, but King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard is this amazing band out of Australia, rock band, seen them 1,000 times. I'm looking at their promo poster from last year that we went to in Miami down at Factory Town. They're amazing. They put out just five. I think I spoke about them before. They put out five albums a year. They're insanely creative and hardworking, but they pulled all of their stuff, all of their whole catalog off of Spotify for good reason. And no one else. Now there's a couple other like minor bands, but they're the most prolific, most biggest band that has been doing it. And they pulled it out because Spotify is doing dirty deeds, man. Spotify obviously is owned by this big investment company, conglomerate, freaking corporate bullshit shell. We hate them. They're going to ruin the world. They're called like Primavera Investments. Prima, what does, it doesn't matter. Actually, it kind of does, but I don't even, they're owned by this investment company. They poured a bunch of money into this other military company that makes drones to drop bombs. They build drones to drop bombs. And obviously, as we know, the current state of the world right now, there's tons of wars going on everywhere. So business is a booming, no pun intended. And I would love to laugh at that stupid pun, but I'm not, because it's actually super disheartening about what's going on in the world. But there's these companies that are killing it right now because everyone's bombing each other and no one wants to go in there and do it themselves. So they're going to, you know, send drones in, and there's this company that makes them, and Spotify gave them $600 million. This investment company did, but I don't know. I'm going to say Spotify did because they're attached to it, you know? And $600 million is a lot of money to, you know, kill people and be behind it. And King Gizzard said, we're not doing that. I believe they had an amazing quote. They said, we don't make music to, you know, kill people. We don't do that. So they pulled all their stuff off of Spotify, and good for them. But also, pissed, dude. Like, I love that band. I can't listen to any of their stuff on Spotify. Luckily, I've got a couple of their albums, but what do I do? Go to Apple? No. What do I do? Never listen to King Gizzard again? No. Spotify, are you going to like stop giving $600 million to the drone people? No. What do we do? What do we do? This is the type of stuff that I just, you know, there's a lot of things that get me ticked off and get you ticked off in the world. This one absolutely burns my brussies. I can't stand it. When you're taking the music away from me because you guys have to give that much money, like, what? The more and more I want to go on a rant on it, the more and more I just know that it just falls on deaf ears, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, super, super bummed about all of that. Wish the world could get a grip. But honestly, we do have to give a big, you know, a big shout out to King Gizzard for standing up for, you know, the good, because it's hard to do that. So we give him a sucks, man. Freaking sucks. It's not right. But good for them, and hopefully they come back. But if they don't, I'll figure it out. I'll have to just buy every single album they ever made, which is pretty much at this point at least 30 albums. Because like I said, I'm telling you, they put out 5 albums a year. It's insane. But what? We buy 30 albums and you know, we get to listen to our music and not support, you know, people killing people. I know. Podcast took a turn. What are you gonna do? You know, just we're gonna take a sip of water and we're gonna regroup. That's what we're gonna do. By the way, when I take those sips of water, that's not how I drink water. I do that for audio effect, the slurping. I do that for you guys. That's not how I drink. This is how I usually drink water. This is how I do it. I don't go lightly on water. When water is over ice in a cup, especially in like one of those, like, you know, these Stanleys or like one of those Yeti cups that like they keep it like real cold, water don't stand a chance around me. I absolutely chug it. I don't take like little sips with water. I'd be down in water. I'd be getting hydrated in these streets. Let's get into this week's Peacock, though. I've got a weird one, man. This is a band that has been teetering, man, for a long time on my list of should I do them? Do they qualify as a peacock in music? I've gone back and forth so many times, but obviously I've now landed on, I think so. It's not the most glamorous band. Their story isn't anything cool, but, you know, after talking about King Gizzard and stuff, it kind of goes with the branding of this whole entire episode of, you know, fuck the man type of thing. And so this week's Peacock in Music is NOFX. NOFX is a punk rock band, 1983 to 2024. Some may know them. I think a lot of people know their name, but don't really know too much about them or have really, really gone into their catalog because, again, a lot like King Gizzard, they have a lot of those punk bands always that coffee and water is coming back up here. Let me get it out. There we go. Those punk rock bands, they put out a lot of stuff. Punk rock bands are they don't ever sleep. They're you know, the Descendants and all of like those bands, they go on tour, they put in an album. They go on tour, put in an album, like every single year. And we thank them for it. But yeah, NOFX formed in 1983 in Los Angeles, California. Their biggest thing and one of the main things I want to harp on with them is they're known for their lyrics. They have very irreverent humor. They're very political. They are, you know, against the establishment. They speak out against any type of forms of wrongdoings in the United States and political environments and the world above. They have a very big, you know, they're staunchly against mainstream music industry stuff. Like any type of industry norms in music, they give a big, you know, finger up to that type of stuff. They don't get down with it. Which is kind of the reason why if you like them, you love them. Band was led by bassist and vocalist Fat Mike, also with guitarist Eric Melvin. Eric Sandine was the drummer, And then later on, a new guitarist came in, and he's also a trumpet player, El Jefe, a.k.a. Aaron Abayeta. But no effects. The name came actually from Boston, oddly enough. There was a Boston punk rock band called – they were called No Neutrality. What was it? It was a Boston punk band called No Neutral Effects. No Neutral Effects. Actually, let's ask. Hey Google, where did NoFX get their name from?
On the website dyingscene.com, they say, according to guitarist Eric Melvin, he came up with the name inspired by the broken up Boston hardcore band Negative FX.
Negative FX. There you go. Look at me just Googling the background. That's hilarious. Negative FX. It was a Boston punk rock band, as you heard. They broke up. That's where they got it. No effects. They kind of took it from them. They love that band. So that's where the band name comes from. But their debut album, Liberal Animation, was recorded in 1988 with Brett Gurewitz, who actually is the famous producer for all of Bad Religion, the band Bad Religion, like their stuff. He produced pretty much almost all of their albums, and so NoFX got him to do their debut album. And they, again, every single one of NoFX's albums always has — that's the cool thing about them. They have these funny, humoristic type of lyrics and stuff, but everything is rooted in some type of message, you know, some type of against the authority type of message. On that album, he mocks vegetarianism, because this is like, you know, early 1988, and so that's what people started getting into. So again, anything — they go against the norm. So Fat Mike, his lyrics were all like, you know, against vegetarianism. But oddly enough, guess who's a vegetarian now? Guess who's a vegan? Fat Mike. Great name to be a vegan and vegetarian, by the way. But following that, after that first album, the guitarist left. And then that's when El Jefe, you know, came in, and he pretty much took over on guitar stuff going forward. In 1991, they released Ribbed, which was their third album. Their second album was all right. It was that one was S&M Airlines. It came out in 1989. Not too much to be talked about there, but in 1991, Ribbed came out. This is when El Jefe really shined on the guitar and took over and really became the NoFX punk rock guitar sound. They recorded Longest Line EP and White Trash, Two Heebs, Bean. All of those four albums, those were all in 1992. Again, punk rock knows no boundaries as far as just putting out albums. The kids were just living on studio floors at that point, I can only assume. But their breakthrough really came in 1994 with Punk in Drublick, if you can understand the play on words there. Punk in Drublick, released during a really big punk revival era in the 90s. So, you know, you had like bands like Green Day and Rancid were like, you know, making headway. So they really hopped on that whole entire train with that. And they actually had their first bit of success, really, with the song Leave It Alone, which is funny enough. I'm going to play it for you, and you can see a little bit of the music video. But MTV really wanted the music video rights to be so they could play it. And again, NoFX, they said, no way, Jose, we don't get down like that. So I'm going to play you a little bit of Leave It Alone here for you. Looks like we're having an internet connection here. Something going on.
What the hell?
Trying to play it here. Sorry, guys. Oh, come on, man. Well, I don't know, having some type of issue here with the laptop. I don't know. It won't let me play it. Sorry, guys. Let's see. This is what happens when you go away for too long. We'll continue. And so will NoFX. And they continue to resist their major label offers at this time to a lot of, like, you know, because of the success of Leave It Alone. Major labels were trying to come for them. They were like, nah, we all good because we hate all of you guys. And they put out, I heard They Suck Live in 1995, which was a live album. And then in 1996, they put out Heavy Petting Zoo, which followed up, which was the precursor to their Pump Up the Volume tour, which I had that. I had a Pump Up the Volume tour shirt for so long growing up when I was younger and couldn't tell you why I had it. Didn't go to the tour, didn't buy it, you know, there at a show, but somehow it came into my hands and I loved that shirt. It was just so outlandish. It was this really ugly blue shirt with this crazy art on the front of it, and it was probably because I was in my teens, that's why I probably thought it was, like, really cool. But yeah, Pump Up the Volume was a really big tour for them in 2000. Yep. Which at that point they were signed to Fat Records, Fat Records, three words. But in 2002 they collaborated with Rancid, actually, and they did a cool album where Rancid covered NoFX's songs and NoFX covered Rancid songs. It was really cool. But then after that, the next year, the war on errorism, really marked a shift towards, like, becoming very political, being very involved in political activism. Most notably, you know, targeting, you know, the president, George W. Bush. And they did like their little rock the vote type of style, but theirs was called punkvoter.com. And they organized basically a big movement that was called Rock Against Bush. And that was the name of the tour that they went on, basically saying, don't vote for Bush. Clearly that tour didn't do too well because Bush became president after that. And again, off of that album, they had a great song called Separation of Church and State. I would love to play it for you right now again, but the laptop is just not doing it. Hopefully at this point we're still going to be all right, but we'll see. NoFX's second album, though, they actually gotten worse live. Their second live album, I'm sorry, came out in 2007. It was really sloppy, really drunky, really not good, as if you ask me. But yeah, they went on to do a lot of stuff. Fat Mike came up, took on various different types of aliases with Cokey the Clown, and that persona he kind of adopted and did a South by Southwest show, which takes place down in Austin, Texas, I believe, where he staged a prank involving a bottle of urine and, like, drinking it on, like, live on stage, but there was really no urine in the bottle. But everyone at the show, and especially the South by Southwest promoters, thought it was real, and they got banned. He got banned from that, which is funny. I think that he was playing at a place called Famous Emo. If you know, it's called Emo's, this rockabilly blues bar in Austin. But yeah, they got banned from there. But they continued to play shows up until basically, honestly, Halloween of last year, 2024. And they kind of called it quits after that. You know, they 41 years in the biz, they were kind of done, which is a very long time for any punk band to be doing anything. But yeah, they called it quits. They honestly don't play too much anymore. There's nothing of note in 2025, but they have a super loyal fan base, NOFX. Again, like I said, they're not the most fun or glamorous peacock, but I think it's important to highlight these type of punk bands, especially late 90s and early 2000s, because that's pretty much the last renaissance of punk. You know, your punk music now is bands like Turnstile, but they're like pop punk. You know, they're really not, you know, plugged into that hard, gritty punk that most people know that genre of music as. But yeah, check out NOFX. I'm sorry I couldn't play the music for you. It sucks. I don't know what's wrong with my computer, but yeah, check out NOFX. I'll put them on the Peacocks and Music playlist on Spotify if you're interested, if you like that type of stuff. But very important for those bands to hopefully still keep going, to put a middle finger up to the establishment. And, you know, in a time where no one's thinking for themselves, it's easy to not to, but also it's really important too. So I guess that's my PSA for you there. My flag that I'm going to stick in the ground for you. Before we go though, I got some DJ gigs coming up and whatnot. And I wanted to say, I am DJing a gig coming up, and I noted, I went to go check it out, to go see the space and whatnot, and see, like, you know, the equipment and the hookups and whatnot. And I saw this thing in the corner, and I was like, I asked the person, the manager that runs the room, I go, what is that thing up in the corner? It's the thing up in the ceiling in the corner. And she's like, oh, that's a sound limiter. I was like, what? What's that? And it's this, she goes, oh, well, it basically picks up how loud, you know, you're playing in here. And if you're hitting in the red, you know, we tell you to turn it down. You know, we don't want, like, you know, loud. So it helps us manage, you know, the volume of the music that's being played in here. And I was just like so pissed off when I heard that. Don't have a space. Don't hire DJs. Don't hire bands. Don't do music stuff if you're going to put a sound limiter and, like, be saying, hey, you're playing too loud. Don't do that. Don't have the space then. You literally have a space for music to be played loud, and you're saying, don't do it here. Why, dude? Stop. Also, too, the sound limiter, you're putting it in the top right corner of the space up on the ceiling. Yeah, it's going to be echoing as shit up there. It's going to be very loud up there. Don't do that. Like, that's not fair. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to play the space, because that sound, because it shows you when you're playing it, you can see it, it, like, lights up with, like, you know, yellow, green, and then red bar. Like, you know, it's kind of like a volume, like, you know, when you can see, like, a volume, like, going up and down in frequencies on an amplifier and stuff. So I can see in real time exactly where I'm hitting at, because that's the whole thing. The manager looks up and she's like, yo, you've been playing in red all night, so turn it down. I can't wait to just absolutely redline this gig through and through, dude. If you think that sound limiter is going to stop me, that actually, you done played yourself. I'm now insatiable. I'm now trying to get it. And now I'm trying to break records with it. I'm trying to break the sound limiter at this point. You know what I mean? I'll report back on the sound limiter, but it's the world that we're living in by the day just bums me out. And the sound limiter is just the tip of the iceberg. Hiring someone, a DJ and stuff, and then telling them you're too loud, dude, don't have the space, okay? All right? Just work at Denny's. I don't know what to tell you. Don't work here. Don't have a ballroom. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, don't hire, don't have rehearsal dinners here, okay? People be singing. People be playing, okay? Love you guys. That's the episode. I'm going to get back on a more frequent basis here, I promise. I know the episode was all over the place, but that's because there's been so much going on. And I'm on a Sunday here trying to squeeze it in for you. But I'm going to try to get back on a regular basis for you, back to the weekly stuff. That's on me. But I appreciate any of you guys ever listening. Like, subscribe, go to YouTube, man. Get those YouTube numbers up. I mean, I'm never going to stop it. I do this honestly as a narcissistic ego thing for me to just spout off and talk about music and things because I have no one else to tell. So I just tell you the two people that are listening. But yeah, check out YouTube, subscribe, check out the channel, whatever it is. Or if you just like Spotify and Apple stuff, that's cool too. It's fine. I still would love you. I appreciate all you guys always listening every single week if I can. And we'll see you next week.